Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, here on this third Sunday, the season of Lent. As you know by now, the church session and I, following the recommendation of our presbytery, and in conversation with other churches, and taking into account the circumstances in which we find ourselves with this coronavirus pandemic, thinking through what we know and what we don't know, and looking at those practices of and protocols of social distancing that we are being asked to engage in, that we have made the prayerful decision, along with countless other churches, both in our denomination and across denominations, we have prayerfully made the decision to suspend our public worship services and Sunday school programs here at the church on Sundays through the end of March. That means today and next Sunday, March 22nd, and the following Sunday, March 29th. This was the timeline that was recommended by not just our presbytery, but it's also in line with what other churches are doing as well. And it is where I and Calvin's session came to as we prayerfully discerned. Now for today, that means that we are hoping that as many of you as possible are able to access this right here, what you're watching and the materials that will be accompanying it on our website. This is not a perfect solution, but as you know, circumstances have been changing rapidly every day. But I also want you to know a few things. First, this is not a decision that we came to lightly. It was a long meeting, and we had a variety of considerations and viewpoints and concerns that we all were raising. And many of those concerns and considerations were in tension with each other. But this is where we landed, keeping in mind that we are in uncharted waters. And this was not a decision made out of fear. It was a decision made out of hope, out of love, and one that stands on the promises of God that we have in Jesus Christ. We're going to talk a little more about some of that in just a moment. But before we do, I also want you to know that when I said a moment ago that we have made the decision to suspend our public worship services here at the church, that was very intentional language. Because we are not canceling worship. We are not canceling church. In fact, we are working on designing and implementing a way forward, a way for us in these circumstances for the rest of the month, and maybe longer. We are monitoring this just as you are. We are in prayerful conversations, and we don't know what things will look like in a day or two, or in the next week or two, or how soon or not it will be appropriate to resume our Sunday morning public worship all together here in this sanctuary. But whether it is just through this month or longer, we are prayerfully designing and putting into place a way for us, in light of and within the context of best practices for social distancing and looking out for one another's health, for us to still be a worshiping community, to still, in this month and in this time, in meaningful ways to gather appropriately with one another, to hear God's call to us and on us, to confess sin together and hear God's forgiveness together, to join our voices and sing with one another, to hear as a community God's word read and proclaimed, to affirm our faith, to respond to God in faithfulness, to share and pray with one another, and to be sent out, blessed to be a blessing. It will look different. It will feel different. But it will also be the very same thing that we have done every week together, and the promises of God that we hear and respond to and are changed by each and every week. These promises remain true. A long time ago, God's people found themselves in uncharted waters. They found themselves without a place to all gather together to worship. They found themselves being forced to adjust to customs that were far from what they were accustomed to. They found themselves in a strange place where they weren't quite sure what was good or not, what was normal or not, what was expected or not. And they found themselves wondering there in that time and place how to respond, and even what this meant for their faith and for their identity as the people of God. This was in the early 6th century BC. And long story short, they found themselves in exile in Babylon. The temple back in Jerusalem is soon to be destroyed, but even without that, it was too far away. They couldn't get there. They couldn't gather there. They are in Babylon. The customs there are drastically different than what they have known. How they were to carry themselves and interact, just like that, completely different. So what do you do? Well, you've got some options. You could build walls, figuratively or otherwise, and put your head down, isolating yourself from everything else, pretending that you're not really here, and so there you're there and you're in your own little bunker, and you don't have to worry about whatever is going on or changing or adjusting or anything that's going on around you. Or you could say, well, what does it matter? And give in and be like everyone else. And just say, well, we're not God's people anymore. Our identity and calling in the world is no longer what it used to be because we're here now and this is a different time. And some chose one or the other of those options. But there was a third way. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 1. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Excuse me. And then verse 4. This letter said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." In other words, you might be here for a while, longer than you expected. You might need to prepare to settle in. But remember who you are as you do so. And remember whose you are. And know that God is at work in you. And through, and even in this situation, God is at work. This strange, uncharted, unsure of what's going on and how long it's going to go on, exiled from life as normal situation. That even here, in this, and through this, God is yet calling you to a purpose. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. You have a calling, even here, even now, even in these circumstances. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. You will be changed in this place and by this place, in this time and by this time in which you find yourself. You will be changed. But that is not necessarily a bad thing. It might even be, God says, it might even be exactly what you, my people, need to discover more deeply your calling as my people. This meant, by the way, there in Babylon, at times taking on new practices for the sake of the city. The book of Daniel, the book of Esther, There's a lot of navigating of exactly that going on in those books. Church family, this morning, what I want you, what I want us to understand is that we are called to do things, even in trying times, for the sake of the city, to seek the welfare, not just of ourselves, but of our communities. That's, for example, that's what those practices of social distancing, that's what they are. As we all try to navigate and limit and flatten this pandemic, that's what those are about. And we take on new practices, we might even say new liturgies of love for one another, and even how we wash our hands and greet one another and move in our public spaces. So yes, we are not meeting all together on Sunday mornings this month and in this one room here, this sanctuary to worship. Because regardless of what each of us as individuals has going on health-wise, there are members of our community that we would have to exclude in order to do that, simply because of the health risk. And we would be putting others of us in very difficult and troubling and worrisome situations, worrying if we might be a carrier and not know it. And so do I go and worry about that, or do I stay home and worry and feel guilty for not joining my brothers and sisters? And so circling back to where we started, we made this decision not out of fear, but out of love and service to one another and indeed to our wider community. Which brings me to what this will look like going forward for the next couple of weeks at least. We will be contacting you this week about the worship that we will be inviting you into for the rest of the month. And by the way, I know some of you are regular attenders, but we may not have your phone number or email address or home address or a combination of those. And so if you would like to be sure that you are included but you're not in our church directory, please contact either myself or the church office, because we want to make sure that nobody misses out on this. Because we will be engaging in decentralized times together that will allow for both community and following best practices and protocols of health. Not just for your own sake, but for the welfare of the community, of the church, and indeed the wider community. And as I reflect on this passage from Jeremiah and think about how we have found ourselves in circumstances that we never would have chosen, perhaps even feeling exiled from the familiar and what we have known, it is also an opportunity for us to grow in faith and love and service in ways that we never would have imagined. Why? Because God is faithful. Whether you are in Jerusalem or Babylon, God is faithful in times of plenty and in times of scarcity. God is faithful in times of anxiety and unknown futures and in times that are sure and certain. God is faithful, friends, even in times of pandemics. That does not mean it will be easy. It does not mean that we won't have to change and make sacrifices or even suffer. It does not mean that there is necessarily a normal that we will go back to, but it does mean that God is with us in and through it all. And it does mean that we may yet find our welfare as we pray and work for the welfare of the place in which we find ourselves in this time. And so for today, and in this coming week, check in with neighbors, check in with each other. We may be in a time of exile from our lives as normal, but we dare not be exiled from one another. Embrace the new to us customs of maybe greeting one another with a bow instead of a handshake. Be sure to contact me or the church office if you know of needs, whether yours or someone else's, physical, social, emotional, spiritual. And know that our deacons are working on a care plan for our church. Create your own liturgy of love for neighbor as love for neighbor as yourself by singing a favorite hymn as you wash your hands throughout the day, knowing that this is a very real and practical act of love for us all. Remember, as we keep personal distance, that there is yet a tie that binds us close. Maybe as an act of worship today, take out your church directory and call someone. Maybe during this week, offer to that neighbor who is in a higher risk category to run an errand for them so they don't have to go out into the crowds. And family, above all, know that God is with us, that Jesus is Lord, and that our calling to love God and love one another, to love our neighbor as ourselves, those remain no matter the circumstance. And in that, we will find our welfare, and indeed the welfare of the city. May the love of God the Father, the grace of his Son Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.